Hey, this is Father Boskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love. But today is the Easter edition of The Next Step. Yes, happy and holy resurrection to all of you. Today we will be celebrating the victory of light over darkness, of good over evil, of life over death. Yes, we are celebrating the victory of love over evil. Yes, Easter Sunday, April 24th, we have arrived. And we invite you to kick back right now and take part in this podcast by, well, tuning it up a little bit and enjoying this next step. You can tell I'm excited, and I'm tired too. Yes, if you are astute, as many of our listeners are, you can tell my voice is kind of, we are midweek of the Holy Week. And you know, the Armenian Church cycle is so wild, because you not only commemorate what Christ went through those last few days leading to the cross and then to resurrection, you not only commemorate it, you actually walk through with Christ, beginning on Palm Sunday with the Ten Maidens Feast on Tuesday, and then Thursday. We are broadcasting today right midday. As you know, in the morning we have the institution of the Last Supper, in the evening we have feet washing and the Order of Darkness. Tomorrow is the burial on Friday, Holy Friday, Good Friday, and we are also kicking off our fast for Darfur on top of everything else. And we're going to go right into Easter with the fast. I have so many exciting things to tell you, because so much of life has changed for all of us, and that's probably reflected in my voice, because I am drained. It is going, but you know what? God gives you the strength. I found that strength. I find it in our church, but I found it today in that beautiful message of the church, Kovya Yerusalem. Did you hear it at the beginning of the show today? That, to me, is the anthem of Christianity. It is the praise to Jerusalem, because Christ has risen. And that Jerusalem is beyond any place on earth. That Jerusalem belongs to all of us. It is the place of peace. It is the haven which we all strive for. Hey, I gotta tell you, you know, in the Armenian Church, there is a requiem hymn. It is called Iverin Yerusalem. It is the eternal Jerusalem. And when people try to play that on days of celebration, I can't handle it. I'm beside myself. Because, okay, I'm all for respecting the dead. Hey, let me tell you something. I mean, I've been talking this last few days, doing the circuit at all of the schools, high schools, college campuses, and talking about the Armenian genocide. And I preface my work talking all about, well, my grandparents were genocide survivors. I've heard the stories. With all respect for the genocide, I've got to remember that, hey, as Christians, we have the power to overcome. And that power isn't given by anybody else. That's the interesting thing. That power is from within, because God is within us. And if we believe that, we've got to take it to the next level, don't we? We've got to take the next step. It's not enough to just sing about it by saying that, oh, the eternal Jerusalem, Iverin Yerusalem, we've got to convert it to Kovya Yerusalem. Let us praise Jerusalem. Let us praise the place of peace. Let us praise that God is working through us. And that's the message that we have today. We have it every week, but I got to tell you, today I'm excited. We are, like I said, we're midweek. We're midweek in the Easter week. Huh, okay, Ken's looking over at me and telling me to breathe. Okay, I am tired, and I am just going. Okay, I'll breathe right now. Anyway, first of all, let me tell you, I'm glad you're joining us today. We have a great show in store for you. We're going to be talking about a few things. Hopefully, I could get my voice cleared up a little bit, too, in between songs. And Ani's here with her bubbles. We've got the whole cast over here celebrating this Easter season, which happens to be a very unique one, because as we've mentioned on previous shows and through our blogs and on our website in issues, that this unique Easter happens to coincide with April 24th, the day of resurrection, the greatest and brightest day in all of eternity. The day of resurrection coincides with the darkest day of modern human history.
That's wild, isn't it? It's never happened before. Well, it has happened. I mean, like 150 years ago, April 24th was the day of Easter, but April 24th wasn't April 24th that day. I mean, you know, i.e., it was pre-genocide. April 24th is the day we commemorate the beginning of the Armenian Genocide, 1915. It was the day that they went into Istanbul and started rounding up the intellectuals, like killing off the head of the nation. Once the head's gone, you figure that the body will wither away. April 24th, that's what the day was. And that's what the day is this year. It happens to be on Easter Sunday. And so you have this collision of darkness and light. And remember that, you remember that saying that Martin Luther King Jr. had? He says, "The darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Well, here we are. April 24th, the celebration of love, the celebration of light, the celebration of resurrection, the celebration of life over death, happens to be on the darkest day of human history, happens to be on the date of hate, happens to be on the date of death. Which one's going to win? I mean, is there a question in your mind? Is there a question in anyone's mind? Tragically, there is. Tragically, many people are still debating this. And unfortunately, even in church circles, yes, even in church circles, they're talking about remembering the victimization rather than talking about the victory in Christ. Which one's going to win? We're going to make Christ win. We're going to make life win. You know how? Here it is. Ready? If you happen to be Armenian, if you happen to have a little bit of Armenian inside of you, and if you're not, I know a lot of our listeners are listening in, do not fret. Do not be upset. This is not to the exclusion of you. Just take a look around at an Armenian. If you don't have one close by, hey, just listen in right now, because there's an Armenian talking to you. If you happen to be Armenian, do this. It's a simple one, okay? Take a deep breath. Are you alive? Now look around you. Look at what you've created. Look at what you've done. You've done the God work. Out of nothing, you have created something. That's what Armenians are about. That's what the celebration today is. That's what Easter Sunday is all about. It's God took nothing and he created something. 1915, it was nothing. It was down to bare minimum. Nothing there, and we created something. We've got a life now. Do you have a reason to talk about victimization? All you can do right now is talk about being a victor. And as a victor, you stand up and you look around and you say, okay, here's my turn now. I've got to look at other victims and reach out to them. I've got to be able to be a beacon of that light, so that where there is darkness, I can shine. I've got to be able to stand up and say that, hey, this is a testament to love beating out evil. Whatever the Turks tried, it failed. You see that? And so beautifully it is expressed during this Holy Week that we're celebrating. Because you see, on Good Friday, what the people of this world tried was to kill off love. That's what Good Friday is about. I know people get all hung up about the dynamics of people and everything. Did the Jews do it? No. Well, the Romans did it. Well, who are the Romans? And I mean, they go back and forth and stuff like this about who crucified Jesus. You want to know who crucified Jesus? People did. You and I. We crucify Jesus when we don't share his love, right? Don't we take him back up to the cross? Every time that we spew hatred from our heart, we're taking Christ back up to the cross.
people crucified him. He came with a message of love. He came as pure light. I am the light of the world, he said. He came as pure light, but the people, as the evangelist John tells us, people preferred darkness. On Good Friday, they put that light up on a cross. They tried to extinguish it. On Good Friday, they took life and they put it up on a cross and they tried to kill it. On Good Friday, they took love and put it up on a cross and they tried to say that evil, that hatred, is something that is very powerful and real and can conquer all of that love. But you know what? On Easter Sunday, when they stood at the tomb and they looked at that empty tomb and they saw it completely empty, void of that Christ body, they said that life is not in the tomb. They realized that life had won death. They realized that light was now shining where there was darkness. Now, do you want to be part of that? You have this option. Let's go back to the Martin Luther King quote. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. So many times we have darkness in our lives and we keep throwing darkness in there with more hatred, with more venom, with more poison, thinking that somehow we can overcome that darkness. No, you can't. And in the same way as he reminds us, he says, only light can do that. He says, hate cannot be driven out by hate. Only love can do that. And so we've got a real situation today in the world, don't we? We begin with the Turks hating the Armenians. We continue with the Nazis hating the Jews. We continue in Cambodia and Bosnia and Rwanda, and today we are in Darfur, where hatred looks like it could win. We're standing at Good Friday, not seeing that there is a resurrection up there. But how does that resurrection happen? It happens when we go into the tomb, when we give of ourselves, when we sacrifice ourselves. When we go to the tomb with Christ, it means that we are putting ourselves in the shoes of Christ. We are walking with him. We are feeling the pain. And in that pain, we see that there are others to be served. Do you remember on today, Great Thursday, let's call it, Avak Hingshapti in Armenian. Hey, that's the word today, right? Avak. I like that. I knew a guy named Avak when I was growing up. Avak means great. It means the senior. It means the one before all else. Okay, Avak. I promise you a word a week. You know, there it is. Avak Hingshapti. Great Thursday. The lesson that we have today is the one of humility, where Jesus goes to his knees and washes the feet of the disciples. Now, in all the Armenian churches and in many of the traditional churches, this act is recreated, where a senior bishop, a senior priest, gets down on his knees and he cleans or he washes the feet of the children many times. They bring up, it's very cutesy, you know. They do this in a lot of churches. Actually, in the Armenian church rubric, if you go into the Avak Shapat, again, there's the word Avak Shapat, the Great Week, okay? There is a book called Avak Shapat. If you go into that book, it gives you all the details, the hymns, and all the prayers for this great week. From Palm Sunday, it begins with Lazarus Saturday, all the way to Easter Sunday, okay? And if you look at what takes place on Holy Thursday, it says the priest, the head of the church, whether he's a priest, the bishop, whoever in that particular area, in Etchmiadzin, the Catholicos does it. Okay? The top man, the avak, the senior of the church, gets down on his knees and washes the feet of the people. From the oldest to the youngest. Interesting, huh? There's no provisions for gender. It doesn't say only males. It doesn't say only children. It says from the oldest to the youngest in the church. I mean, hey, look, we're traditionalists here, aren't we? We're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy.
That's what it says. But I know there's a cutesy factor. So in many churches, they put together a group of 12 kids and, you know, they do this cute little thing. But I mean, it all comes down to the same message, right? In my church, I like to get people involved. I like to make participation part of coming to church. So we basically wash anybody who comes up. And this has been old people, young people. It has been women as well as men. So whoever comes up gets their feet washed. What's the purpose of this? Well, yes, as a priest, I'd like to get them involved. But also as the priest of the church, it reminds me that as the first servant of the church, I need to humble myself. Because Christ, who was the first servant, who is the first priest, who is the Son of God, who is the incarnation of love, humbled himself. In this expression of humility, he got down and he washed the feet of the disciples. And I always think about this, that, you know, what he washed was so different than what we get to wash. I mean, you think about those little kids that come up. You know, you could just tell their mommies have told them, you make sure you wash your feet. I remember when we were kids, too. I mean, it was very interesting for us to remember which foot would be washed. If it was the right one, then that's the only one you'd clean, you know? It's the only one you'd put into the tub. And we get these nice, clean little feet that come up for feet washing on Great Thursday. I mean, the feet that Christ had to wash were truly dirty. There was no pavement. There was no high top shoes, right? They were sandals. And so this expression was really, it was fortified by the appearance and the condition of those feet, right? It gave a very, very profound message that Christ was willing to do the dirtiest of jobs. He was willing to do a service to others. And if Christ can do that, how much more is demanded of us? How much more is demanded of each and every one of us to reach out to one another, to help one another, to love, and to be there, to be the hands of Christ to one another, to be the expression of light, the expression of love in people's lives. It is Easter. I'm going to play a nice song. It happens to be the song that they sing. It actually doesn't even appear in any of the books, including in the Avach Shabbat. But it is sung every Easter season on Great Thursday. It is called Udes Mairim, Where is My Mother? The reflection of Jesus from the cross. Where is my mother?
Thank you.
Ures Maerim, where is my mother? Reflections of Jesus from the Cross. It is a song that is sung in the Armenian Church, and you know, every time we select a song of the week, we go through an exercise of just sifting through different things, and there were a few other artists that had done this one, but I go back to this Lucine Zakaryan rendition of it. Such a beautiful voice. She was sometimes referred to as the Nightingale of Armenia. And she used to sing, actually, I remember when I was in the monastery at studying at Holy Etchmiadzin, she used to sing on Sundays during the Badarak, during the Divine Liturgy. Where is my mother? It is just a beautiful song, because as she sings it and in her rendition, you just feel the pain, the loneliness that Christ is feeling up on that cross. Standing there, looking out at a world that has refused his love and refused that light that we talked about. And not only refused it, but taken him and put him on a cross, tortured him, humiliated him. And realizing that, you know, where is everyone? The people that I loved, the people I cared about, they've all left me. And now where is my mother? Scripture tells us that the Holy Virgin was standing at the foot of the cross. And I mention this because there's another song that I'm going to play for you right now. It was a song that I played a few years ago when we tragically lost one of the young members from our community. And I think that it is so profound that this song be played with Ures Maerim, because it really brings home the point of what we're trying to do over here, Armodoxy. When we talk about Armodoxy, you realize that these themes, these messages, are not about events that took place only a couple thousand years ago. These are events that take place in our lives every day. And the Armodox message is about making that faith real in our lives today. Not just celebrating the past, but realizing that that past has so much to say about our today that it can make a difference in our lives. We can light up our lives. And so I offer this song. It is a John Lennon song. It's the other way around of what we just heard. That was Jesus from the cross, looking out in the loneliness, searching for his mother. Where are you, mother? This is the other way around. It's a father looking up, searching for his son and offering comfort. And I invite you to put your feet in the shoes of perhaps the parents of Mary, of Joseph, looking up at the cross and comforting and consoling their son.
Close your eyes, have no fear. The monster's gone, he's on the run, and your daddy's here. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Say a little prayer. you cross the street. Take my hand. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. Before you go to sleep, say a little prayer. Every day, every way, it's getting better and better. Darling Sean.
Good night, Sean. See you in the morning.
Beautiful Boy, Darling Boy by John Lennon. Just wanted to play it because I think it's important to put ourselves in this narrative of the Passion of the Christ. You know, it's very important to walk in the shoes, not just, you know, say, okay, we're walking, going through the motions, but really kind of feel some of the experiences that we're taking, that must have been going on, okay? That perhaps weren't recorded, but must have been going on. These were emotions. It was somebody being crucified unjustly. The ultimate story of injustice. Love coming and being crucified, right? What are the thoughts that go through the person's head? Through the friends, through observers, through parents who look on and see their child and the wish to comfort, you know. And in so doing, you know, what you do at that point, it's not to be blasphemous, it's not to be, you know, anything more than, but when you place your feet in the shoes of others, you're beginning to understand. You're beginning to respect. Once you start respecting the Christian story, you begin to love it. Just as with anything else, once you start respecting somebody, once you start understanding their pain and you start respecting them, and that is the beginning, that's the first step of loving. You want to love the Christian message. You want to understand what it's about. You need to first respect it as a real story. Of conflicts between good and evil, of conflicts between light and darkness, of conflicts between love and hatred. You know, during the Easter season, I said, we get caught up with so much of the historical dimension of it. Remember a few years ago when The Passion of the Christ first came out, the Mel Gibson movie? Oh, there was so much talk. Well, that's going to really put the Jews out. The Jews are going to feel that they did it and everything. And we always go through this debate, you know, and I know even the churches have exonerated the Jews. The churches have said that, you know, it's the Romans and all kinds of debate. In fact, just the other day, I heard this on The View, of all places. No, I wasn't watching it. It happened to be on a TV, and I was passing by. I mean, this has to be the most ridiculous show there is. If you're not familiar with it, those of our non-America, I'm sure it's all syndicated throughout the world, but in case you don't know about it, these are four or five women that get up, Whoopi Goldberg, what's the other one? Barbara Walters, a few others. Anyway, they get up and they comment. They are paid for their opinion. Okay, yeah. I know. I'm admitting it. Yes, I am jealous. They're getting paid for their opinion. But their opinion is nothing. I mean, they were talking about, this is what caught my ear and made me stop for a few minutes. They were talking about Judas. And did Judas know what he was doing? Did Judas have free will? Could he have done otherwise, or was he being played like a pawn in this big chess game of the crucifixion, of the passion and the resurrection? Like, without Judas, we couldn't have done this, so then therefore he is the hero. And
and on and on. These are, you know, these are mentally stimulating for some people. And I've got to tell you, I'm stimulated by the whole Judas story too, enough to at least read a few books about it and read what church fathers have said about it. But when it comes down to Armodoxy as a way of life, the entire story of the Passion of the Christ, those last few days leading to the resurrection, leading to the cross, is an opportunity not for us to project it on somebody else, but to project it on us and realize we are the ones who take Christ to the cross. During the Thursday, Avakim Shapti, the great Thursday Mass, the Divine Liturgy that we celebrated this morning, there is a reading in there. And the entire liturgy stops, and the senior priest gets up. There's the word again. Avak priest gets up, and he reads this dissertation. And throughout Holy Week, there's a couple of them. One is by Hovhannes Blues Vartabed. I love that name. Yeah, it's kind of Blues Brothers kind of things. Actually, he's Hovhannes Blues is the name referring to characteristics about him. But suffice it to say, Blues Vartabed. Vartabed means the teacher. There is another one that is by Saint Basil the Great. And in there is this discourse about love. There's another one about the Holy Communion. And both of them make the point that we take Christ back to the cross whenever we don't love, whenever we participate in the Lord's meal unworthily. In other words, they transform us into the life of Christ. And this is so important to do. To put yourselves in the shoes of others, to put yourselves in the shoes of Christ means to put yourself in the shoes of others. And in so doing, understanding, respecting, learning, and loving. Remember, the first step to love is that respect. And by putting your feet in the feet of others, in the shoes of others, you start to respect. And so, yeah. Let's play with these kind of things. I mean, there must have been all kinds of emotions that were going on at the crucifixion. Not only Christ's, where he yells out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" When he looks out and says, "Where is my mother?" These are emotions. But the emotions must have been from the ground up too. Mother looking at the child and saying, "What kind of world did I bring my child into? Why does this have to happen? Can I go up there and just wipe the sweat off of his brow? Can I comfort him by maybe telling him something?" I mean, there's many dimensions to this crucifixion. And by putting your feet in the shoes of others, by feeling what was going on over there, not just projecting it on somebody else, transferring the pain and saying, well, the Jews did it, or it must have been the Romans, it must have been Pontius Pilate. But by taking it on yourself and realizing that we are the ones, that you and I take Christ up to the cross, take in the present tense, not in the past, that we do it every day. What happens at that point? We transfer that story and we start understanding what Christ's love is all about. It's about the today. It's about putting our feet in the shoes of others and realizing that that person on the cross that we want to reach out to, that the people that we see from the cross are all people that inhabit the same space, the same planet. In other words, we are all brothers and sisters, sufferers as well as victors. And the sufferers can become the victors when the victors reach out, once the victors understand that they are in victory. Are you with me until right now? I hope so, because I'm having a fun time with this, because it's the basis of everything that we believe. It is our celebration, the celebration of Easter. We're going to come back with some concluding thoughts and put this all together. But here's Ani with today's bubbles.
Today's spiritual bubble is called The Seeker of Truth. After years of searching, the seeker was told to go to a cave in which he would find a well. "Ask the well what is truth," he was advised, "and the well will reveal it to you." Having found the well, the seeker asked the most fundamental question, and from the depths came the answer. "Go to the village crossroad. There you shall find what you are seeking. Full of hope and anticipation, the man ran to the crossroad to find only three rather uninteresting shops. One shop was selling pieces of metal, another sold wood, and thin wires were for sale in the third. Nothing and no one there seemed to have much to do with the revelation of truth. Disappointed, the seeker returned to the well to demand an explanation. But he was told only, "You will understand in the future." When the man protested, all he got in return were the echoes of his own shouts. Indignant for having been made a fool of, or so he thought at the time, the seeker continued his wanderings in search of truth. As years went by, the memory of his experience at the well gradually faded, until one night, while he was walking in the moonlight, the sound of sitar music caught his attention. It was wonderful music, and it was played with great mastery and inspiration. Profoundly moved, the seeker felt drawn toward the player. He looked at the fingers dancing over the strings. He became aware of the sitar itself, and then suddenly, he exploded in a cry of joyous recognition. The sitar was made out of wires and pieces of metal and wood, just like those he had once seen in the three stores, and had thought it to be without any peculiar significance. At last he understood the message of the well. "We have already been given everything we need. Our task is to assemble it and use it the appropriate way. Nothing is meaningful so long as we perceive only separate fragments. But as soon as the fragments come together into a synthesis, a new entity emerges, one whose nature we could not have foreseen by considering the fragments alone." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. So beautiful, yes. It is kind of Zen there, isn't it? Kind of a very Buddhist kind of bubble today, huh? That's interesting, right on Easter. Well, think about it. Why do we pick this out? Now, think about it. You are in Armadoxy right now, right? And think about that beautiful bubble that she gave us today. It's about seeking truth. It's about realizing that it's always been there. I mean, what happened at the resurrection was just an opportunity for us to see how powerful God is. God has always been there. The resurrection, the power of good over evil, is a truth that has always been there. The power of life over death is a truth that has always been there, right? Just kind of put the pieces together and then you've got it, you see it. Thank you, Ani. It was a different bubble, and a different one especially for Easter, but I really appreciate it. That was really, really nice. Hey, I'm going to let Susie make her announcement right now, and then we'll be back in a couple minutes. We're going to wrap this thing up because there is so much that I still want to share with you, but it all relates to everything we've been talking about. So here's Susie with a quick announcement of what we're doing over here.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Voskin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Voskin.
Thank
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And I particularly wanted that reminder at this point because as we conclude today's podcast, I did want to share with you some thoughts from In His Shoes as we're walking in the shoes of others because so much has been happening. And I want you to understand how important your participation is. When you donate, you become a partner. When you're a partner, you're saying that this is an important venture. You know, just as we were waiting a few minutes, going through the bubbles a few minutes ago, I was checking my email. I know, I cheated. Where's my attention supposed to be? Right on the board over here. But I checked my email, and I got an interesting email from a young man who had seen a recent video, the one where we do greetings of hope to the people in Darfur. And he asked a very simple question, like, how do we do the same thing too? And along that same line, it was just like a couple weeks ago, somebody else on Facebook was writing about like forgiving the Turks and everything. You know, all of these ideas about reaching out to Darfur, offering forgiveness, or maybe having a language with the Turks, makes sense within a framework. If you just go out there and you just start talking about these things without the framework, without the basis, this is where people get messed up and you have really nothing to argue on. It's basically building on the foundation of love, and that foundation of love comes to us through our Armenian Orthodox faith. This faith that goes back not to the time of Jesus, but goes beyond that. And I want to make this little point very clear. You know, St. Gregory the Illuminator, when he received the creed, the Nicene Creed in Armenian, this is in the 4th century. The Christian community had gotten together and had put together the creed, which we now call the Nicene Creed, basically identifying, outlining what a Christian is. When it reached Armenia, St. Gregory the Illuminator added this small little addendum to it, and I think it's very important. He says, as for us, we shall glorify that which was from the beginning of time. Iskmek paravore sukvor harachkanis havidianis. That which came before the beginning of time, before time. And I think this is very important because when you talk about logos, when you talk about our understanding of what Christ is, yes, there was a manifestation 2,000 years ago, but the entire idea of love is something that began at the beginning of time. It was part of the entire creative process. And then Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, became a manifestation of that. And through the Passion, we see how that played out. So I say that because we teach this through In His Shoes, through Armadoxy, through our plans, through all of our broadcasting on E-Apostle. And so you have this solid background, and then all of a sudden, you become receptive to the truth which has always been there. It's exactly the same story which Ani said. Okay? That love being more powerful than evil is not something made up at the time of Christ. This is before all of time. This is the way the motion of the universe has been put into place. Yes, and Jesus Christ became the manifestation of that love. That's why St. Nerses Şnorhali says, the name of love is Jesus. He equates it. Jesus is the name of love, that eternal love. And so when you have all this, when you have this basis, when you understand all this, the rest of it starts making sense. Now, the opposite is equally as true. When you don't have this, it doesn't make sense at all. So you can't talk about these very heavy-duty concepts about forgiveness, especially on the level of genocide. You can't talk about these heavy-duty concepts about getting out there and supporting people who are in genocide as an answer to the evil that has been brought upon you. Jesus was very conscious of this, wasn't he? And that's why he gave gradual. That's why he taught in parables. He taught in parables so that we might understand. He didn't just open up the floodgates and say, okay, here it is. There is eternity. Take a look at it. There is ultimate love. I mean, what happened? Do you remember the story of the Transfiguration? Jesus took three of the disciples. I believe it was Peter, James, and John. He took them up to Mount Tabor. And over there, he transfigured. He showed his divinity. And what did the disciples do? What did the three do? Instead of being in awe, instead of marveling at it, they said, do you want us to build some tents for you? I mean, they brought it down to a very earthly response. It's something that we all do. In the face of the divine, in the face of that ultimate love, what are you going to answer? Well, this is why it's a gradual process. We have to build on a foundation. And so when we teach over here, whether it's Armadoxy or the manifestation of Armadoxy, which is In His Shoes, or the voice of In His Shoes, Apostle, it's all about plugging into something that's greater than us. And I want to end today's show with a few experiences and a few reflections, because we did talk about the passion of the Christ leading up to the crucifixion, and here we are. It is Great Friday. Avak Urpat. And we will be fasting for the next 30 hours. We're going to be going from noontime on Friday and fasting all the way until Holy Communion is received on Easter Eve. And I'm counting on you, whether you're fasting with us. I know many of you have written in and said you're going to be fasting with us. Counting to fast with us. I'm counting on you to pray for us, to keep us in your thoughts and in your prayers. I'm counting on you to check in with us. That means go to the website and open up the broadcast tab and look in. What's going on? Join us. Join us for the conversations that are taking place. And I'm counting on you to be the instruments of peace. In other words, to make those donations, to act out on your faith. The manifestation of your faith is on that action of donating. Now, this week has been really, it has had its challenges to say the least. It has been a really rough one. And here we are in midweek. I have to tell you, tonight we're getting ready for the feet washing service and then what we call Chavarum. We actually read the narrative, the passion narrative from all the Gospels. And as we read each one of the Gospels that we read, the lights are lowered until we find ourselves in total darkness. And we have this picture of imagining ourselves what it would be like to be in a world without Christ. That complete loss, that complete absence of the most essential element of life, basically life. And so as I'm getting ready for tonight's services, for the next few days, I have a chance to reflect on what happened within our ministry. And I've got to tell you that it has been a blessing. It was our coming out party last week. I mean, we hit every media that was available within the Armenian community. I even had the Armenian political parties contact me and wanted to know what was the direction for Easter. I mean, it's wild. Armenian political party talking to you about religion, about faith. Last weekend we were on Armenian television. I know. It would be nice if one day I could be on a television show that had a listing in the TV guide, but still, we can't complain. This is our audience, right? And we happen to be on the Diocesan TV. We happen to be on Horizon Armenian television. And I invite you to take a look. If you haven't had a chance, it's up on our website. It's on our YouTube channel. Check out both of those broadcasts. We had blogs. We had people blogging about it. We had people talking about it. Been on Facebook, on Twitter. There's been a buzz about it. And I'm excited about it because we are finally seeing that people are opening up to this idea. In His Shoes is no longer some out there idea. Leveraging love is no longer something that we have to explain. People are picking it up and they're understanding. The Horizon interview is a must-see, but I got to warn you, it's in Armenian and in English, so you got to know both languages to kind of get it. But although you know, if try it with one language. If you only know one of them, just try it. It'd be interesting because I think the language of love transcends those man-made languages. The blogs have been out there, but this is what really is bothersome to me, and I want to throw this idea out to you. This happens to be the Armenian Genocide weekend too, and the church wasn't there. I've been planning for the last year for this event. I've got to be honest with you, in many ways I feel like we failed because we didn't have the resources, we didn't have the energy, and we didn't have the backing. We can make up all the excuses that we want, but basically because we couldn't do it. today was a day that I really wanted to share with the world that today Armenian people were a witness to the power of good, a witness to life, a witness to the resurrection. In many ways, I think we succeeded within small little groups. At least we planted seeds, and that's because of your help and because of your constant prayers for this ministry. And so I need to let you in on this. I need to share this because I share with you my frustrations, I share with you my joys, and at this point there's a little of both. Because yes, I was frustrated. The bigger frustration came that most of the church continued doing the same things it has always done, commemorating a genocide by singing Eternal Jerusalem, Iverin Yerusalem, instead of talking about the resurrection. And we constantly saw this where even Armenian political parties began setting the direction for the community. I actually heard this, believe it or not, on Armenian television as we were waiting to get our piece up on the air. I had a chance to go through so many commercials, much more than I'd like to admit. I actually heard this. One commentator invited people to to be at the Turkish consulate on April 24th to protest. Now I'm just thinking to myself, okay, Easter Sunday, I'm going to go to the Turkish consulate to protest, and I'm going to say, hey, this is how I want to spend the resurrection. I mean, bizarre ideas like this are all around us. People are talking about protesting. They're talking about going out in front of Obama and protesting what he has done. Well, okay, I understand. He didn't recognize the genocide. But at what point do you let that go? Because here's the bigger problem. Just today, before I'm finishing this podcast, I had to be in court. Yes, I finished the Divine Liturgy this morning. I ran off to court, immigration court, where one of our Armenian boys was facing trial, facing deportation because of heroin. Because of the heroin, he had actually been involved in some robberies and in a few different illegal activities just to get that dope. And this was a non-Armenian person who was there to testify. He was with me. I was one of the people that was going to testify. We were sequestered for a few minutes. We had a chance to talk. And he turned to me and he said, the Armenian community should be appalled at this point. The number of kids that have been addicted to heroin just in the last few years, it is of epidemic proportion. And this is where I'm really hurting. Because I see, with good intentions, Armenian political parties, I even see the church talking about the past 95 years, about a genocide that took place 95 years ago, and not addressing the genocide that's taking place right on our streets, where we've let materialism rule, where we've let these drugs take over the lives of our precious youth. And we're not giving that the adequate airtime. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about to Obama about strengthening his policies about drugs, about bringing them over, about giving us the opportunity to have social service programs where we can talk about this instead of going out there and bombing Libya and instead of going out there and defending places that we don't even know about except for the fact that they bring oil and revenue to this country. Important things. Yes, they're very important. I'm not going to try to downplay that. But what I'm saying is that there are some big issues that we're missing. And so on this Easter weekend, as this servant of Christ, as this person who is committed to the idea of putting his feet in the shoes of others, walking in the shoes of Christ, and walking up to that cross, I want to share with you this final message. That our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the definitive offer of hope. He gives us a unfailing offer of hope. And when I say unfailing, you and I, we could lie to each other. You don't need to believe me, but when Jesus says, it doesn't fail. And this is the message that I want to leave you with on this April 24th. When the darkest day of history meets up with the brightest day of all of eternity. On this day, April 24th, where 1.5 million Armenians were killed, because of genocide. Because of the will of a group of people, the Ottoman Turkish Empire. Because of the will of another exerted upon us. Raped, pillaged our land, and threw us off our lands, and we went into an exile and created a diaspora. There is only one place you can look for hope. It's not to politicians, it is not to elected officials, it's not up to senates, representatives, parliaments, it's not up to people bringing, declaring this or that. It's to only one source, and that is the source of all life. It is to God Himself. To the words that cannot fail, that come to us from our Lord Himself, recorded by St. John in the Revelation spoken to him. While we remember this April 24th, a day of death, a day of mourning, a day of crying, of pain, we are reminded of the words, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the old order has passed away? I do. And I know that we are here for our purpose. We are here to proclaim and witness to that new order. And that new order is about life. That new order is about love. That new order is about eternity in light. Let that light shine in your houses. Let it shine in your families. Become that beacon of that light. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be in your lives today and every day, as He has promised, I am with you till the end of the ages. Hey, before ending today's show, I just want to invite you one more time, personally want to invite you to a very special Easter morning sunrise service. It's going to be taking place 8 a.m. our time here on the Pacific Coast, so you do need to do the math, but basically Europeans will be able to watch it in the late afternoon, South America in the early afternoon, and Armenia, well, after 8, 9 o'clock in the evening. We're going to be celebrating the Easter message with a one-hour special worship service you will not want to miss. Our good friend Gor Mkhitaryan is going to join us with some great music, too. That'll be on epostle.net. There will be a button. Just go to the broadcast, and you're sure to find it. And that's how we end this very special Easter. It's a very special one, because all Easters are special, right? Of course. April 24th, yes, it has been transformed. Listen, for the wonderful crew that puts this together, I want to take this opportunity to thank them for being with me. I want to thank all of you for listening. Every week, you turn us on, you put us on your different devices, you burn us on CDs, you pass us along, you pass the links. Thank you very much. God bless you, and may your Easter always be a blessed one. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Vasquez greeting you. Christ has risen. Christos Ariavi Merelos. And we'll see you again next week to take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.